Okay, this week's Sedra, Parshas Kisavo, is once again sponsored by the Weinbay family of Ramat Beit Shemesh. It says in the Sedra, Vayayim Shamoa Tishma, B'kol Hashem Elokecha, Lishmor La'asosat, Kol HaMitzvosav Asher Anochi Mitzvcha Hayom, if we listen to Hashem's voice and keep all the mitzvahs that He commanded us, it says, U'bau Alecha Kol HaBrachos Ha'ele V'Sigucha, then all these brachos will come, V'Hisigucha. Now what does V'Hisigucha mean? V'Hisigucha, it's a little lesson in Hebrew, is the idea when a person, let's say Reuben, was running after Shimon, pursuing him, and then he catches him. So V'Hisigucha means to catch somebody you're chasing after. So I can understand by the klalas, which it says later on, the same type of a lashon over there, that the klalas will run after us, V'Hisigucha, fine, because we're running away from the klalas. But over here, by the brachas, the person doesn't run away from brachas, that the brachas have to catch up to them. So why is it the lashon of V'Hisigucha, the brachas will catch us?
That's the question. There's a story, there was once a wealthy man, and he needed an eitzah. Came to a certain crossroads in his life, and he needed an eitzah. And he was very happy to hear that a good friend of his was hosting the Chafetz Chaim in his home. And he was saying, wow, what a golden opportunity. You know, maybe if I can get, you know, a few minutes in with the Chafetz Chaim, you know, is there any better person to ask for, you know, an eitzah from? So he approached his friend, and he said, listen, I understand the Chafetz Chaim is staying with you. Can you do me a favor, you know, maybe get me in a little bit? I just need 5 minutes, you know, so I can ask a Shiloh from... So he thought about it. He goes, I have an idea. He says, come this evening when the Chafetz Chaim is going to eat dinner. And after dinner, you know, after he benches, you can, you know, just slip in, ask your question, and this is all wonderful. Thank you very much. Sure enough, he shows up. Chafetz Chaim is finishing a meal. And he's about to bench. So the Chafetz Chaim used to be nohag to say a kapitel tehillim, Mizmor LaDavid Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. He used to say that kapitel before he benched. So he started saying it. Then he came to the pasuk, Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chaya, that only good and chesed should pursue me my whole life, David Melch was saying. All of a sudden the Chafetz Chaim stopped. And then the guest, you know, was listening to that. Chafetz Chaim stopped and said, Pli Atzuma! He goes, what is David Melech saying over here? Ach tov v'chesed, it doesn't make sense.
Why?
We said before, Lashon Nirdof, to pursue, is a negative lashon. When somebody's pursuing, your enemies are pursuing you. Rodeh. What's a rodeh? A pursuer, to kill. So what's pshat? Ach tov v'chesed, David Melech is asking that only good and chesed should pursue me to kill me, like to pursue me, kol yemei chaya. It doesn't make sense. What's why the lashon of to pursue nirdof? So Chafetz Chaim then said, thought for a minute and said, you know what the answer is? He said, that doesn't make sense. He says, because every now and then, he says, you know, we are involved in all kinds of good activities, yet we think, we get the impression that they're negative. For example, a person could be Osek in Chesed, let's say. And then it comes to a point where he says, you know what, I'm so involved with this Chesed, it's eating up my time, I'm not spending enough time with this or with that, or with my business, it's affecting my Parnassa or whatever. So in effect, he believes that the Tov and Chesed are Rodef, the Rodfimoto, that they are pursuing him. As if to say, look at what it's doing to me. This Tov and Chesed, right? I'm not making enough money, etc., because of these chassanim that I'm doing. So he thinks that they're pursuing him. However, David HaMelech is saying in Eisa, he says, no, you don't understand. You should daven lahafech. Alavai, ach tov v'chesed yudafuni kol yemei chayai. Alavai that I should be pursued with these type of things my whole life. Meaning, because even though a person might think that these are negative things and they're pursuing him, that's really not the case. They're really very positive things, and nothing bad can come from it, right? If it's tov v'chesed, you have nothing to worry about. Everything will be okay. You don't have to worry. You think they're pursuing you, but alavai that these are the things that will be pursuing you your whole life. And that's what David Melech was saying. Take an answer from David Melech, that when you think, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing all this good, it's affecting me. No, don't worry, nothing bad can come from it, since it's Tov Chesed, and Alavai, that should pursue your whole life. And then he went on, benched, etc. So the man that visiting, that, you know, came for the Shaila, he then got up and, you know, said Shalom, went to his friend and said, thank you very much, okay, I'm leaving now. Look, I said, wait a second, I set you up to ask a Shaila from the Chafetz Chaim, you know, and you said, just give me a few minutes, so we made up after benching and everything, and what are you leaving? You didn't ask a Shaila. He said, no, I got my answer, it's okay. You got your answer. He said, yeah. See, what was my Shaila? He said, that was my Shaila. He says, I've been involved for many years in Gemachim and supporting Talmudei Torah, etc. And it became much my life. I've been so involved with it that I haven't been spending too much time with my business, etc. So my wife started getting angry at me. She says, you know, enough already. You've been working so long, it's affecting our parnasa, etc. It's time to stop and, you know, hand the reins over to somebody else to take over. You know, you've been doing it too long already. So I didn't want to, I thought, that's a big mitzvah, I don't know. What. So we decided, I'll ask the Chafetz Chaim, whatever he says, and that's what I'll do. So here it is, sat there, and that was exactly my Shiloh, what he said. You know, sometimes we think the Tov Chesed is attacking, but Alavai, that should be Tov Chesed. That should be what should attack us. But Lamaisa, we see from here, this Indian that no bad, Derech Agav, no bad can come when we're doing mitzvahs. Every now and then, you know, we come across these situations where we think, you know, I don't know, should I do this? You know, you're walking on the street, you're going somewhere, had a meeting, whatever. Somebody walks out and says, for example, oh, we need you for minyan, Beis Avol, you know, quick, come. So you start making a shikul. Should I go? I don't know. I'm kind of busy. It's going to eat up my time or whatever. And so we're, you know, go. Why? But what's going to be? Don't worry. If you're osik in Tov V'chesed, osik in mitzvahs, whatever, you don't have to worry that bad is going to come up. I always like to say, you think of it in this light, you think, what, let's say I go to this, you know, I join the minyan. So what's going to happen? It says, is Hashem going to punish me? Hashem is going to say, that's it. Because you went, you're watching the minyan, that's it, you're going to lose this deal, this is bad. That's what's going to happen? I'm doing his miratzon, I'm doing Hashem's mitzvah. Because I took off time to learn extra Torah, join the minyan, do whatever the case might be, and thinking that, oh, I better, because who knows what's going to be, what Hashem's going to punish me? He said, yeah, because you joined that minyan, you know, you're going to lose this business deal. That's what Hashem's going to do to me. Can't be. And even if I do lose a business deal, then we have to say, you know, Gamzul HaTov, I'm obviously the best. Because Hashem is cannot, it's clear, he's not going to punish me for doing his ratzon. Can't. So too, can answer the question, therefore, what's the idea of the Tova Chesed, you know, running after us, pursuing us? We said, well, the brachas are going to run after us, and what are we running away from the brachas for? Here it is, because sometimes, you know, we run away from brachas because we don't realize they're brachas. You know, the biggest brachas are the Torah and mitzvahs that we do. And sometimes we think they're attacking us. Oh, I can't take time out to learn. They come to this, whatever. It's affecting my, you know, my everyday life. You know, I got to run away from it. It's too much, right? So then, for the Torah is telling us, no, he's giving us a bracha. You know, a levai that they should run after you. These brachas and be sigucha. You should come to the realization that, in fact, stop running. And the bracha is that we will understand. We will come to the realization one day. That these are things that we should, these are only good for us. And these are brachas that maybe we're running away from, and we should stop running and let them catch up with us. Along similar lines to answer this question, there's I'll share with you a couple of stories. There's once these stories are said by the Ben Ishai. There was once a man was sent by his wife on Erev Shabbos to buy some fish. There's the fisherman came to open up the market, and it was Erev Shabbos. So I said, buy me a nice fish. So husband said, sure thing, goes to the market. And he knows one main stand where most of the people were at, and he was selling the fish. So this guy had very high quality, very nice, you know, various fish. But one of them was very big and ugly and not of high quality whatsoever. And he was dying to part with it, you know, because nobody wanted to buy it. So he's trying to lower the price, but nobody wants to touch the thing. Anyway, so this yid comes in and what's available. So he found himself a fish. And they said, hey, come here. I have a great fish for you. How about this? You know, and they go, oh, gross. No way. I can't. You know, he goes, come on, I'll give you a good deal. Half price, half price. So he's still looking at it. He says, it's okay, half price, but still, I can't. How can I bring this home to my wife? You know, she'll kill me. So he kept looking, and he said, no, no, anyways, make a long story short, got him down to a quarter of the price, just wanted to part with it, take it. So the Jew bought it. And then on the way home, he's thinking, like, oh, how am I going to face my wife? They're going to kill me, I bring this fish. And he goes, okay, I have an idea. So he took it, ran home really quickly, tried to come home before his wife, you know, realizes, and he'll grind it up, make it into gefilte fish, and she'll never know the difference. So, comes home, grinding up the fish, and as he's cutting it up, before he grinds it, he notices a very expensive jewel inside the fish. So he says, huh, how do you like that? So he goes to, he wants to get it evaluated, you know, so he goes to see how much it's worth, right? So he goes to a wealthy man, and he says, you know, you understand in these things, can you tell me how much this diamond is worth? So he looks at it, and he's like, wow, so where'd you get this? So he told him, you're not going to believe it. I went to buy a fish, and nobody wanted to buy. I didn't want to buy it. I happened to buy it, and here it is. So he says, unbelievable. He says, you know, let me tell you similar stories. You know, I wasn't always wealthy. He said, and my father, okay, he was a wealthy man. And what happened was, my father wasn't a wealthy man. And what happened was he got sick one day. And he was told by the doctors that he has to go to one of these spas by the lake or whatever, by the sea, just to, you know, he needs fresh air or whatever. So my father wasn't interested. He says, where should I go to? So he says, no, he'd encourage my father to go. He said, look, it's not in this midsummer now. Nobody's there. It's quiet. What am I going to do there if I'm by myself? And then I go to this beach, you know, nobody's around. So the doctor said, yes, but you must go, you must go. He pushed. Finally, my father said, okay, I'll go already. So he went to this beach, whatever, for the fresh air, and brought his tent with him. And as he's putting the peg, you know, the tent into the ground, he's like, feels hard. He starts digging, and he found himself a treasure. And since then, you know, we've known nothing but tremendous wealth in our family. So he said, you see from here that what's coming to you is coming to you. You know, he said, just think, you know, my father didn't want to go. The guy pushed him to go, and he went in a time when no one was there. Had he gone in the summer, and he would pull out this thing, everybody would walk there, everybody would claim it was theirs, or whatever, here, no questions asked, nobody was around, he was able to keep the whole thing for himself. We see from here, he says, what's coming is coming to you, so too, he said, with you, same thing, you know, what's coming to you, the jewel, you see, you know, the fish, you no reason why you should have bought it, you bought it, and you found yourself the money. If something's coming to you, it's coming to you, it's not coming to you, it's not coming. Brings another story. There was a carpenter. His name was Avraham. And this carpenter, he worked hard. He made himself a little bit of money. And he used to keep it in like this sack, you know, his savings. So one day he had to travel to Yerushalayim. And so he took his money and he hid it in his house somewhere, so, you know, so nobody should see. And he went to Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, his neighbor, who was not the nicest guy in the world, to say the least, he knew he was going away. He says, I know he must have money somewhere hidden, stashed away in there, and now's the perfect opportunity. Nobody's home, I'll be able to look around. So he broke in, looked around, sure enough, he found the money, found the sack of money. So he says, yeah. So he takes the money, and he says, okay, I better, you know, get away from the area over here before somebody sees. And he's running and running, 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 until all of a sudden, he gets a heart attack, and he dies on the spot. So, this Bachur, his name is Ephraim, he's walking by, and he sees this guy lying here on the road. So he looks, examines him, he says, this guy's dead. It's clear. So he says, okay, no mitzvah, meis mitzvah, you know, take care of the kfura, whatever. So he takes him off to, you know, sets up a kever there, digs a whole kever, whatever. But before he buries him, he, you know, checks to see if anything on him, and sure enough, he found the money. They know the same money. He's like, oh wow, this is my lucky day. Big mitzvah, big money, you know, wonderful. So he takes the money, goes home. That night, Ephraim has a dream, though. And in the dream, he was told, don't touch this money, don't use it, it's not yours, it belongs to a Yehudi. So he wakes up and he says, some dream, you know. It's my money. So he tried ignoring the dream. And then he heard that his father was ill. His father was ill and he had to travel to see his father. So now he had this money, he didn't want to take it with him, you know, dangerous to carry all this money with him. So he goes, I gotta hide it. So he lived by this river, and he had these trees outside in his courtyard. So he went to one, took one of the big tree, he like made a hole in it, and he stashed away the money inside this tree. Wonderful, safekeeping. And then he leaves and Ephraim goes to his sick father. While he was there, there was a big storm. And big, big storm, and the storm uprooted the tree with the money in it, right inside the into the river, and flowing down the river. Goodbye tree, goodbye money inside the tree. Meanwhile, some guy is walking by the stream, the river there, and he sees this big, huge tree, you know, and he thought of Rav Avraham, the Nagar, the carpenter. He goes, wow, he sure would love this for wood. You know, it's a great wood. So he schleps out this big, huge tree, and he goes to the carpenter, Avram. He says, listen, Avram, would you like to buy this tree? I'll give you a good deal on it, whatever. So he says, yeah, wonderful, it's great. So he pays him a little bit of money, and he buys this huge, huge tree. So I say he starts dealing with the cutting it open, and sure enough, lo and behold, what does he find? His money! It's like, what? Unbelievable. So the story's not over yet. Ephraim then comes home and from his sick father and says, where's my tree? Where's my money? Frank, gone! He saw it. What happened? The whole thing was uprooted and it was gone. So he said, he took it to heart. It was obviously a punishment. And that, I wanted to keep the money or whatever. And as a result, not only did I lose the money, I lost my tree also. Nothing. So he says, okay, so I thought I had it made for life, but I see it's not the case. I better go out to work. So he started looking for a job that day. And sure enough, he found work. Where did he find work? By Avram the carpenter. So Ephraim goes in, he says, you have a space for me, I need to work. And then he goes, yeah, I can use a helping hand. Sure, sounds like a nice boy. So he starts working. So he comes in and he says, wait a minute, that's my tree. He says, that's your tree? He says, yeah. He says, did you find money in this tree? So he says, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. He goes, see, I told you, this is my tree. So Avram says, how do you like that? So he told him that really it was my money that I had lost and I found it in your tree. And then Ephraim put the whole story together, and Ephraim said, how do you like that? You see, the dream was a true dream. It really was your money. And it came back to its rightful owner. So Rav Avraham, you know, he was so thankful, you know, everything worked out. And he wanted to pay, and it turned out to be very good work for this Ephraim. And he wanted to give him money, you know, to thank him for part of the money at least, you know, because of him, you know. So he said, no, nothing doing. This was your money. It came back to you, and keep your money. But Rav Avraham felt that, he wanted to give him something. So he was looking for an opportunity when he can, you know, somehow get him the money. So he had an idea. He was one of his children was getting married, so he decided to close the business for the week of Sheva Brachas. And he told Ephraim, listen, I'm closing up for the week, for the Simcha, and I'm giving you the week off, therefore. It's so wonderful. So he told his wife, Ram told his wife, he says, now, when you give Ephraim some Tzedal L'derech, you know, some food or stuff, you know, he's going away for a week, and make a nice big challah, and put inside the challah, you know, some money, and this way, when he'll cut the challah open, and he'll see the money, then, you know, he won't be here, he'll be wherever he is, he'll be able to use the money, and this way we'll get him some of the money. So she's fine, so she puts some money in the challah and sends it off. So Ephraim takes the food, including the challah, whatever, and he goes on his merry way. And he gets to a border crossing. So the guy in charge of the border crossing, you know, says, so where are you going? You know, customs, you know, checks, looks at his things, and he sees this beautiful challah. So he says, wow, he goes, I'd love that challah. Could you, so he goes, well, it's my food, you know. He says, I'll pay anything for it. Please, there's such a beautiful challah. So he offered him a lot of money, and he goes, fine, if that's the case. So he sold him the challah. And that was that. Anyways, so he goes on his vacation. Meanwhile, this border patrol officer, right, he bought this beautiful challah, and he said, you know what? I have a perfect thing to do with this challah. I'm not going to eat it. I was invited to Avraham the Nagar's wedding. Okay? So I was thinking, what can I buy for a gift? You know, what do you buy a carpenter for? So here I have this beautiful challah. I'll give him this nice challah as a gift, you know? So, sure enough, he goes to the chasana, gives him the challah, and Avraham's like, the challah looks familiar. I've seen it somewhere before. And sure enough, that was challah with the money. He got his money back. Ephraim comes back from his vacation, and so Avraham turns to him and says, tell me, how was your vacation? Oh, it's nice. Thanks. And how was the food there? Did you eat the food that we sent you? So Ephraim's, basically, except for the one challah that, this guy really wanted at the border, and I sold it to him. But besides that, everything was very good, everything else delicious, whatever. So then he pulled out the challah and goes, was this the challah? I don't believe it. He goes, yeah, where did you get him? So they saw that the money is supposed to be by Rav Avraham, the money is going to be by Rav Avraham and not by Ephraim. Be that what it may. That's so the end of the story was Avraham wanted to somehow, you know, I want to do something. So he decided, I have a good idea, I'll marry off my daughter to Ephraim, and this way indirectly, you know, he'll be able to get some of my wealth. And that's how the story ended. So there's another possibility, therefore, taich in the pasuk that the brachos will come, visigucha, is this idea as well. That the brachos will, you're running away, and this the brachos is going to run after you, right?
Whatever.
It's going to come to you. It's coming to you, no matter what. You can run away, run here, run there, run to give it. Somehow, some way, whatever's coming to you. It's not coming to you, how much you run after. That's the lesson we've learned from the pasuk. So in conclusion, though, it's very important that we have to get our priorities straight. Why? Because even though it's true that, like we just said, what's coming to a person is coming to a person, and whatever you do is not going to affect it, we have to realize, though, that unfortunately not everybody realizes this, is that this only applies in the tchum, in the area of gashmius. Okay, every Rosh Hashanah, it's decreed how much everybody's going to make, what everybody's going to have, and whatever you do, you can't run away from it. You're going to get what you're going to get. Right? You run after, you don't run after it, the visigucha, it's going to come to you no matter what. And that's the attitude the person has to have. However, that's only by gashmius, by physical. When it comes to ruchnius, the opposite is true. Right? By ruchnius, it's not going to come to you no matter what. That you have to put your effort in. That you have to run after. That's not going to come to you automatically just because it's going to come to you. But unfortunately, people have the wrong approach, and they mix things up. When it comes to gashmius, they say, oh, I have to put in effort, I have to work hard, I put in extra hours, you know why? Oh, he's godless. When it comes to learning, oh, what about your learning seder? What's going to be with your learning? Your mitzvah, oh, it's Rosh Hashanah, everything will be okay, don't worry, Hashem yazor, Hashem will help. When it comes to gashmius, it's totally the opposite. Kol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirei shamayim. The gashmius, the person has to say, Hashem yazor. When we're still to ruchnius, you have to put in the effort. Also, Ben Ishchai says, there's once a wealthy person, he had this servant, and one day, this wealthy man had a ladder going up to his roof, and somebody went up on the ladder, and the ladder was rickety, and it fell, whatever, and he said, oh my gosh, you know, I got to do something about this ladder. So he told his servant, make sure you destroy this ladder, you know, break it up, it's terrible, I can't have this around. So he says, yes, master. So he takes the ladder, you know, going up to the roof. and he takes he climbs one or two rungs up the ladder, and then he breaks the rungs that he just climbed. Then comes another two steps, breaks it, goes up another couple, breaks it, until he gets to the top. He goes, okay, I'll broke it. And he's like, oh no, I'm stuck up here. Help! Help! Right? So the master comes, he goes, what's going on? He goes, how am I supposed to get down? He says, you fool, what'd you do? You don't break. When you're breaking the ladder, you start from the top and break on your way down. You don't break on your way up. You go, okay, I didn't know. Because remember, you're always breaking a ladder, you start from the top. He says, okay, okay. Anyway, he gets him down. A couple of days later, this same man, he has a bore, a pit with the water, like a well of water. It was all dry up, and there's a ladder going down there. And he's worried that the kids are going to go down and hurt themselves. So he said, you know what, break that ladder because it's dangerous. You know, the kids are going to fall. So he goes, yes, master. So he says, okay, now, start from the top. Start from the top. So he goes to the top of the ladder, breaks the thing, goes down, breaks as he's going down, break, goes down to the bore. Help! He's stuck in the bottom of the bore. So that's unfortunately the way people are, right? They have their priorities mixed up. When it comes to the Gashmias, oh, yo, effort. Ruchnias Hashem Yozor. It's a fuch, right? So you look up at the when it comes to the Gashmias, and you have to look down and look at yourself when it comes to the Ruchnias, and not the others. So Hashem Yozor, we should take these things as a lesson to us. As we said, that we should daven and hope that ach tov chesed yudefuni, that only good should run after us. We should realize that we're not going to suffer from the mitzvahs. Only good can come from them. If it looks like we're being attacked, those are the things that should attack us. And similarly, like we said, we have to realize that everything's from Shemayim. What's going to come to us is going to come to us, but that's only in the area of Gashmius. When it comes to Ruchnius, we have to put in all our efforts and not just say Hashem Yazor, but first you have to put in your efforts. But Hashem, if we will do so, hopefully we'll see tremendous bracha and atzlacha run after us as we approach this new year. It should be a Shana Tova Mesuka. And it should be a year of bracha tzlacha lanu l'chol Yisrael, b'yaskol tzedek, mirav yamin.
Amen.